Greetings, gracious gamers, to another rare but timely episode of the Daily Days podcast. That quick retro trip to gaming's glorious past, all set within a modern context. I'm Mr. Picario, your humble host on this eternal adventure. And today, as promised some time back, I'm here to review Company Numbskull's long-awaited quarter-scale Bubble Bobble arcade machine. Is it everything a Bub and Bob aficionado could ever hope for? Well... So first, a tiny bit of history for those not familiar with Numbskull and its line of products. Foremost, this UK-centered company is known for making video game and movie merchandise based on some of fandom's greatest franchises. This means Doom Eternal and Resident Evil coffee mugs, Star Trek and Crash Bandicoot Christmas sweaters, Pac-Man and Spyro the Dragon pin sets. But beginning a few years ago, the company got more ambitious. It decided to try reproducing actual video games, arcade machines to be exact. These nigh-perfect and fully playable replicas stand about 17 inches tall, or more accurately, are approximately a fourth the size of the original cabinets, hence the name Quarter Arcades. The first of these was the iconic Pac-Man, and it indeed looked the part, duplicating the original machine's orange and yellow design almost perfectly. Galaga, Galaxian, Ms. Pac-Man, and Dig Dug have predictably followed, all safe and lucrative Namco properties. Bubble Bobble, however, belongs to Taito of Space Invaders fame, and stands as Numbskull's first attempt at recreating an IP that doesn't belong to the house of Pac-Man. This is significant as, though Bubble Bobble might seem simplistic by today's standards, this 1986 single-screen platformer is still a few years more advanced than any of Namco's Golden Age offerings, and thus is probably a bit more challenging to reproduce. But what is Bubble Bobble? For the unfortunate who don't know, it's about two boys, Bub and Bob, who get transformed into chubby, chibi-fied dragons with a penchant for blowing bubbles. The duo must now go below, descending 100 hostile stages to rescue their kidnapped girlfriends. Each level is a self-contained, non-scrolling arena in which the brothers spew bubbles to trap their enemies, then pop said suds by jumping through them. Take too long, and the baddies can escape their globular prisons, becoming faster and meaner than before. Once all the foes are banished, the pair proceeds to the next level, and the process begins again. It's a fun single-player experience, but the game really begs for co-op play. Indeed, the game's best ending can't be achieved without two people working together. In fact, the game is the first, or is one of the first, depending on the source, to feature multiple endings, although it packs plenty of other inscrutable half-random secrets as well, from point bonuses and warp zones and bonus rooms and power-ups and whatnot, all appearing at seemingly arbitrary times and locations. Unless the player really knows what he's doing, the game will always seem to have a store of new rewards and surprises on almost every playthrough. Anyway, the game was hugely popular and is one of Taito's most treasured properties, second only to Space Invaders and perhaps Puzzle Bobble, the latter a bubble-popping puzzle spin-off in the vague vein of Tetris. What's notable, however, is that despite its fame, the title never received its own dedicated cabinet. Rather, it was sold merely as a conversion kit which arcade operators could use to repurpose an existing machine with. In short, they would rip out the guts of the older game, shove in the Bubble Bobble motherboard, change out the marquee and add a few stickers and overlays, and voila, the arcade owner had a brand new spanking game that cost only a fraction of what a complete machine would have gone for. And that's what makes this particular minicab from Numskull so special. Working co-op style, I guess, with Taito, the two have given Bubble Bobble its first, long overdue, dedicated cabinet. And the end result is glorious. Undeniably, Numskull did a brilliant job designing this cabinet, providing a work of art both colorful yet stately. It's whimsical in the middle, with suds and dinos speckling the decor, yet austere on its left and right sides, with just the Taito logo emblazoned in bold, straightforward form. No doubt, it's the striking exterior design that makes the rest of the package seem so unfortunately underwhelming. Okay, here's the deal. Numskull excels at craftwork, items that often evoke a more homespun appeal and style. And these products are often quite lovely, able to draw out that shrieking geek in even the hardest of hearts. But on the technical side of things, like creating a fully operational mini arcade machine complete with a bespoke emulator, accurate controls, and a reliable LCD screen, the company has always struggled to produce an impeccable piece, with astute collectors often decrying one defect or another. The first run of Pac-Man machines, for instance, had freezing issues during gameplay, plus audio skips after a firmware update. Galaga had its own spate of problems, from slowdown to outright crashes. Numskull has graciously worked to fix these kinks over time, even replacing the units outright when requested. But there is a growing, overriding feeling that the company might just lack the proper chops for producing gizmos of this complexity. Which brings us back to Bubble Bobble. The good news is that after running my unit, which I paid for myself, through its many stages and paces, I found no glaring flaw, glitch, or defect. The controls, which include a pair of tiny joysticks and matching buttons for possible, if supremely cramped, two-player play, work fine and have a satisfyingly tactile, clicky feel. The coin slots light up, the marquee shines bright and nice, and the wooden cab sports a solid, weighty feel. Even the sound is acceptable despite the obvious limitations of a device of this size. But that display. Well, Numskull has always faced complaints here, with its subpar screens and their very shallow viewing angles. But because these machines are primarily art pieces, and because they are small and narrow enough to restrict viewing from odd angles anyway, the iffy screen quality here was a minor concern at worst. Looking straight ahead, games like Pac-Man and Galaxian look fine, but not Bubble Bobble. Unlike earlier cabs, the angle of this screen is less recessed, slightly more vertical in orientation, which somehow exacerbates the viewing problem in a way the other cabs manage to avoid. Worse, there's an obvious shimmer to the graphics, almost a shutter really, as one stage scrolls to the next. And though the game is still perfectly playable, it plays less smoothly than it should, as if the frame rate isn't quite optimized. What all of this means is that Numskull's latest release is incredible to behold, but a little less impressive to actually play. And yet, I still had fun trying to beat my high scores anyway, which are thankfully saved when the unit is powered down. And as before, the cab packs a battery for portable play, although I suspect most will want this displayed more like a statue, a monument, if you will, to those golden arcade days of yore. So, do I recommend this cabinet? Well, not to burst anyone's bubble, but at $150 plus another $40 or so for shipping, a purchase might be a stretch for the casual collector. For the ardent Bubble Bobble fan, however, this is still a lovely Hallmark machine and is well worth considering. The bigger question is Numskull itself. Two more cabs are planned, Track and Field and Space Invaders. The company has made no more announcements after that. My gut feeling, if I had to say it out loud, if I were to speculate, is that the company is probably ready to withdraw from the mini arcade business and go back to what it does best: scarves and socks and rubber duckies and coffee mugs. It was an interesting experiment, but with so many competitors now in the wings, from New Wave Toys' Replicate line to My Arcade, Arcade 1-Up, and a host of others, plus all the issues Numskull has faced with production issues, complaints, and replacements, I suspect the company has probably had enough. Which is a shame to be sure, as I was an early champion of these machines and would love to see more. Mr. Do, Donkey Kong, Gradius, Rodland, but the vibe I'm getting right now, silence mainly, seems to suggest something is amiss. Guess time will tell. Anyway, thanks for listening, as always. I shall return in a month or so with some other niche topic in hand to regale those few favored souls who still seek my channel out. And by the way, the link to my rarely updated blog is in the description for this podcast, which, if you're interested, will bring you to my latest update, which is actually just a bunch of pictures for those of you to peruse if you so choose. Just in case my description in words only didn't quite do it for you. Take care then, and until next time, this is Mr. Picario, signing off for now.